Hello, it's Jules.
And Jim.
It's the morning of October 13th.
2021,
which is auspicious because...
it's the day of your surgery from 1 year ago.
And we have been listening for the last few days to year-old recordings. On October 11th, we listened to our blog from a year ago, and we've been doing that, and today is 1 year anniversary. It's meaningful to us, of course. We've got the memories of the whole thing, and I had something I wanted to bring up. Not about being trans, not about the surgery itself, kind of, but about the blog and my own irritating conventions sometimes. Because I don't want, I fear that I've been giving the wrong impression. I asked Jim about it. So here's the deal. I have noticed listening to old podcasts for some time that Jim will say a phrase or a sentence, and I will repeat that and go on with something else. And every time I have listened to that, I have thought, okay, I know how I meant that, and I know how it could sound. So I sounded it out this morning in the middle of listening to one of these with Jim. And sure enough, it was an issue with them. Jim will say a thing and I will repeat it and go on. And how I mean it is utterly is an affirmation of what Jim has just said. It's just an idiosyncrasy. It's just the way I talk and the way I affirm. And it doesn't necessarily sound very respectful, but it's absolutely meant respectfully. It's meant more than respectfully. It's meant to say, yes, yes, you're absolutely right. But it doesn't sound like that. So I have two possibilities. One is to try to change the way I do that. And the other is to ask you to accept the fact that I mean it in a most affirming way. And I think maybe both are in order, although I'm in control over the second one. What do you have to say, Jim? Anything?
I think it's really good of you to be sensitive to this, and I appreciate it. I mean, this is just one of the things I admire about you, is that you find things that other people might find uncomfortable about yourself, and then you're like, I don't think that that's good. Maybe I'm going to change that. And I wish more people were like that.
Well, I don't know where I picked this up. I don't think I've always done this way.
Since I met you, you have.
I know. Well, anyway, I apologize to our listeners who think it's been patronizing and condescending and dismissive, which is the opposite of what I've been meaning. And I'll try to do better in the future. And I just wanted you to know that. The other thing is, it's our 1 year anniversary of my surgery. You know, we listen to a lot of TikTok.
Yes.
Possibly a bit too much, in my case at least.
You watch a lot of TikTok.
Sometimes when I can't sleep at night, I immerse myself. And I end up, of course, almost exclusively now on lesbian/trans TikTok.
With science things thrown in.
With science and history things thrown in. But we did not conceive of this podcast as being about body configurations. And because of the timing of when we started it and in conjunction with when my surgery came, for a while, the whole thing was just all about altering bodies to fit with genders. And of course, that's not what genders are about.
No, that's not what our podcast is about either.
And it's not what our podcast, you're, I just did it. And no, it isn't. You're right. It isn't about body configuration. And it's not what our podcast is about. I mean, it's a part of some transgender experience.
And I think it helps a lot of people feel better to be able to go through the surgery with us and come out the other side before their surgery.
Right. And I agree with that. But the more TikTok I watch, the more I realize perhaps that the assumption when you say, for example, when you say that you're a trans woman, it appears to me that the assumption is that you have a penis. That's what it appears to me. I would think that many or most people listening to this podcast understand that there's infinite variety of ways to be transgender, and having surgery is part of some of that.
And you can have all kinds of different surgeries too.
And there are all kinds of different surgeries. So I don't want to give the impression that we think that this is anything exceptional, or I certainly don't believe that there's any right way to be transgender.
The right way is how you're doing it.
Right.
However it is you're doing it right now. You're doing it the right way.
Right. I happen to have experienced significant dysphoria in my life. There are other people who have experienced worse. I've read accounts of people who have to shower in the dark and have trouble, you know, dressing because their dysphoria is that profound. Fortunately, was not quite to that level. And there are people with not only no dysphoria, but who are pleased with the condition of their bodies. This is just one experience. And I worry about that. I worry about coming off as, you know, like so many people do, to say mine is the only way to do something. Ours is not the only way. You know, we're different from day to day, much less. Anyway, I worry about it.
You do?
Yeah,
I do. I think people understand that it's just, you know, one person sharing their experience or two people sharing their experience. Not that you have to, that has to be the way that you have to be trans.
No, right. I'm sure they understand that. And that's always our intent. Just as there are clearly many ways of being male, female, or non-binary, or anything else.
Yeah.
And I think Jim is a perfect example of that, because in their own way, Jim is all of those things.
Yeah, depending on the day.
Depending on the day, and sometimes the time of day. And yeah. So anyway.
So how do you feel listening back to that? And listeners, if you haven't listened to the Surgery Day podcast, maybe you'd like to join us in our retrospective, or maybe if it's been a while, we really enjoyed going back and revisiting the Surgery Day podcasts and remembering our experiences. But how do you feel a year gone listening to that again?
Well, it's been quite a year, you know. I had to laugh while we were listening. At one point, it says, "Oh, after this, the only thing I'll have to do is the name change." Like, and that will be nothing. In some ways, that was way more involved than the surgery. because it wasn't just the name change. It was a name change, which was a nightmare during COVID. And then, you know, all the documents that followed from that. We've had a problem with Social Security.
And your medical bills.
It just doesn't stop.
I mean, listeners, you should know that we had an insurance claim denied because it was a vaginal exam, and
it was based on government documents, and
they said, "Oh, patient is male and does not require this service," or something.
And I thought, we fixed this months ago, and it's just somebody, it apparently they have to assign an entire caseworker to review this. It's just, oh my gosh.
Ugh.
I just laughed because all I have to do is get my name changed. Oh my gosh. anyway, how did I feel? I felt warm. I felt happy. I just remember those days with such affection. Not everybody will who goes through surgery, of course, but I just, you know, it was raining. I love rain. You were here. My family was here. It was fall in southern Pennsylvania. It was so gorgeous. And
you were mad that I was eating crunchy snacks.
Oh, before the surgery, I was mad that I was eating crunchy snacks. And what did I do in celebration of the year last night?
You ate potato chips in bed.
I went down for the first time. I don't think I've eaten potato chips, much less potato chips in bed, for a long time. But I just, I think I was listening to the podcast and you were promising me
all the chips that you wanted.
All the chips I wanted.
And you were like, oh, I wish I had some chips. And I was like, actually, I bought some.
So I had some chips. They weren't very good either.
They were disappointing chips.
I know. Anyway.
That is the title of this podcast.
Disappointing chips?
Yep.
But yeah, I just remember those days with such fondness. And I listened to my poor voice.
Oh my gosh.
Because I'd had that tube rammed down my throat for hours and it really tore up my, you know, speaking voice, which isn't the best in the beginning. Oh, it sounded painful.
Yeah.
And it wasn't all sweetness and light. I remember feeling such pain in my lower back, which was alleviated when they elevated my back. I remember being thirsty all the time, needing ice chips in my mouth all the time, and making you or whoever.
Anyone in the room.
I would panic when I would get low on my little stash of ice. And remind me why they won't let you have too much ice.
I don't remember why they wouldn't let you have... I know they were worried about you spilling it on yourself, so I was supposed to dole it out to you handful by handful.
I thought there was some reason.
Editing Jem here. I do believe it was because it was a choking hazard, and also she had to lie completely flat, which it's kind of hard to, like, put things in your mouth and eat, you know, from a cup or whatever when you're completely flat, so that's my theory.
And I got to tell you, Jim is an amazing researcher. A lot of times I get a little bit, I'm not normally a squeamish person, but when it comes to my own body, sometimes I don't want to know necessarily how they're rearranging it in great detail. And Jim was like, I do. Jim would look it up.
Oh, yeah. For months, I was looking up how they're, like, trying to understand how they were going to do the surgery and what parts went where, and
right.
I watched videos.
I know, you'd bring them up to me and say, hey, look at this, and I'd think, yeah, it looks interesting. I think I want to do something else right now.
I did. I read all your surgery notes, your post-op notes that the doctor wrote. It was fascinating.
I think I read those once. Mm. I didn't for a while.
They're in your file thing.
Yeah, I kept a file on that.
Fascinating.
But anyway, yeah, I thought you might know why they wouldn't let me have all the ice I wanted.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't. I had zero sleep, and just was trying to keep you happy.
The other thing is, for entertainment value, I often go back and look at some of the texts I wrote to friends who were asking after me.
We've included them in the podcast.
We have included them, I guess. You're right, in the podcast. But, I mean, I do very vaguely remember those and typing those. And my recollection is what I would do was I was so exhausted that I would start typing and then I would start dreaming halfway through the sentence. I was honestly starting to dream. And when you start to dream, you can really just make your brain think anything is going on. It slipped into Japanese a couple times.
You did, Japanese characters. Oh, you spoke Japanese to the nurse one time.
I did?
Yeah, you asked her what time it was in Japanese.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like,
I don't think she's Japanese. Yet.
She's asking you what time it is. It's just like, she doesn't speak Japanese, babe.
Yeah. Okay.
And you were like, what? I really cut out a lot of, like, confusion out of that. It sounds like you're very lucid, but you were not. You
know, the thing is, but there were moments of lucidity.
Yes, and they would occur right up next to moments of complete.
And that was the thing. I would just be halfway in a sentence, and I would just, my brain would just slide back into dreams.
It was pretty funny.
And so probably I dreamed that the person I was talking to was Japanese. Yeah, I have a happier memory of that trip, perhaps, than I do of the period leading up to it or following it.
Oh.
Not that that was necessarily unhappy. Yes, I didn't eat. Yes, I didn't sleep. Yes, I took laxatives that didn't work for hours. But remember this, I love people. And I was being looked after, not only by some very, very pleasant medical people and hospital people, but by the people I love most in this world. I was the center of attention for all these people for all that time.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah. And are you going to dilate today?
I think I'm going to dilate today. In theory, I think we've been over this, but in theory, at least my instructions were you get to wait after a year. You get to stop dilating except for once a week. And I have decided to make that more often. But anyway, I'm dilating now a few times a week, not particularly with any regularity. I want to get back and ask you something.
Yeah.
What do you feel when you hear about this from a year ago? What goes through your mind?
I just feel like I'm there again. Like I remember how like focused I was on taking care of you and being so nervous during the surgery, and she didn't call me back right away, and then like for almost an hour after she said she would, and it was just like really concerning, and I was so tired, and then I was so relieved to see you, but then you just looked so different and you sounded so different and your brain wasn't working right, and it was very scary for a little bit.
I'm so sorry that you had to, you know, it wasn't anything like an up and down experience for me.
Right.
I just went and they put me to sleep and I woke up and my body was what I wanted to be. It was a success. But for you, it was a real emotional roller coaster.
It definitely was. Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Bae.
I am just really glad that you got through it and you're happy now. Like that was the goal and that's what's happened. And I'm really glad.
Yeah. It's too bad that you had to be put through all that.
It was worth it. I didn't feel hard at the time. Mm. I was just tired after.
I love you. There we are. It's a year later, and it's pretty much all resolved, except for the occasional glitch with the insurance company.
Yeah.
We both landed with our names and our identities, as in most states in the South. Non-binary is not an option for you.
No, I'm just stuck with my assigned gender at birth.
Well, one day we can only hope.
Yeah, one day I'll be valid in the eyes of the government.
Yeah.
It's pretty invalidating, honestly.
I can only imagine.
It's like, well, no, you don't exist really. Like,
it's kind of like bisexuality or pansexuality.
Absolutely.
You know, just is, well, okay. We can understand gay. We can figure that out. So we'll finally, obviously for not everybody, but we'll finally accept gayness. But
these in-between things are too confusing.
They're too complicated. You know?
I can't be bothered to learn things about other people outside of my worldview and in my personal experience, which is all that matters.
I know.
Ugh. Well, this is why we have the internet and
yes,
for people who care to
educate themselves.
Yeah, then they can.
And get a bigger worldview. I know. So, you know, bisexuality, too complicated, non-binary. Because, you know, not everybody in my family is millennial or younger. And just getting them to understand the variance in gender, it's not necessarily the easiest thing in the world right off. But then you start talking about non-binary, you lose a lot of people there. It's just too complicated.
Yeah, I think because it's not a thing, it's saying I am not a thing. You know what I mean? Like it's not saying I am male, I am female. It's saying I am not male or female, but there isn't a thing that you can point to and say, yeah, I'm that thing. It's just that being not is defined by not being one thing or another thing, but we don't know what that thing is. And it's like, no wonder my brain has trouble with it, much less anybody else.
You know, you're going to a wedding. We're going to a formal wedding, as we've talked about many times, in a week and a half. And, you know, that was kind of a nightmare for you getting settled into that.
Yeah. Trying to figure out what to wear. How should I present?
Right. It's going to be a very traditional wedding. Big church, white gown, I think the invitations probably cost more than some people spend on weddings.
Yeah.
And
there's printing on the inside of the envelope.
There were like four different things on special handmade paper.
Oh my gosh.
Of course, the bride's family apparently comes from considerable wealth. And so I don't know. Anyway, I'm looking forward to the wedding, but what I'm getting back to is you start getting squeezed into boxes when you could do things like go to weddings.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I had to decide, am I going to present as a femme lesbian? Am I going to present as a butch lesbian? Am I going to present male? What are my options, you know? So we settled on tuxedo with feminine accessories.
I love that. I will.
But men's tuxedo.
It is a men's tuxedo, right.
So not feminine tuxedo.
Right. Yeah, not the skinny pants and heels.
Yeah, high heels, yeah.
Fortunately, when we went in to do the tux, you had two helpers who kind of knew what they were doing.
A really nice gay guy. And you.
Yeah, because I have, you know, lived in that world. The person who was behind the counter, if he was gay,
was definitely queer in some way.
Was taking no trouble to hide it, shall we say.
Yeah.
That was nice.
I could tell he wasn't transgender or much in the trans community because there was sort of that little, just a little bit of discomfort. Like, I hope I'm doing this right.
Right.
There was that. So it was, I'm pretty sure he was not gender variant because of that.
Right.
But he knew the deal.
Right.
I said she said they. He knew, okay, we're not going to use female pronouns for you, and we are going to use female pronouns for you. Like, he picked that shit up and went with it as normal. So that was very nice.
And when you say I said she, meaning you were referring to me as she.
Yes.
And I was referring to you as they.
Yes.
And I think we did that very intentionally.
Yes, we did.
To clear that up, what we, you know.
Here's our deal.
Here's our deal.
Should you care to pick up on it? Yeah. But he still was like, used words like female body and the girls when he was talking about my chest.
Yeah.
Which, fuck.
I know.
We had a little trouble because I didn't feel right in the cheapest tux. It didn't fit me right at all. And I was just imagining me going to this extremely fancy event and feeling like a fool.
I know you do.
And I'm still afraid of that, but we got a jacket that fit a little bit better.
But remember what I told you when we were leaving?
What? Oh, that it feels weird. When you wear a tux for the first time, you're going to feel ridiculous?
Everybody feels ridiculous the first time they put on a tux. You look amazing. You look so handsome in that.
Thank you.
And you're going to look handsome. And remember, we're going to dean it up at the...
We are. We're going to dean it up.
At the wedding, we're going to just walk in like we're fabulous. Because why?
We are.
Because we are. And
and all those rich, stuffy white people just have to deal with it.
Yeah. And I think the people on our side of the family are going to be just absolutely fine because they've already shown they are. And the people on the other side who are paying for all this, you know, I don't think we should assume they're going to be not happy, not fine with it.
But in case they are, we'll be like, why are they staring at us? Oh, right, because we look so good, and move on.
Exactly. So it's been a long recording. I assume it's going to be shorter in the editing process.
It will.
But, and thank you for that.
Of course.
Anyway, a year out, it's been a beautiful year, and many more.
Happy Vagina Plus anniversary.
And thank you all.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for being our listeners.
We appreciate you. And there's more content coming, I promise. We've recorded so much, and there's so much editing to do, and it just makes me want to cry. But we love you anyway. We'll get there.
But by the time they hear this, you will have done it all.
Wrong. I'm releasing this today.
Oh, good. Well, that's cool.
Yep.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.